To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its sponsors, Christy Doherty and Mia Hansen Aloha, and our very special super subscriber sponsor, Miss Madonna Hines, Madge with a sexy J. We love you, girls. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on Ye Old Brav. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills audiobooks podcast. And I'm with my gorgeous little friend, Ben Mandelker, of the B-side blog and the banter blender. Hello, Ben.
Hello there. How are you?
I'm just doing so great. Good. Welcome to Monday, hon.
Thank you. Monday gets a special accent for me, which is what that weird hello was. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Well, welcome back from New York City.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here in the warmth of Los Angeles. How wonderful.
We missed you, babe.
Did you have a good St. Patrick's Day?
I sure did. Drank my little face off.
Yeah, that's good. That's always fun. That's a good way
this
to celebrate
fucking
it.
This town, though, nobody wears green. They're like, I'm too good for green. But I'm on St. Patty's Day.
I wore green pants that were a size too small for me, and it was really uncomfortable, but it's what you do for St. Patrick's Day.
Well, I think a huge part of being Irish is being uncomfortable. Like, everything I've ever seen about Irish people, it's, like, uncomfortable. There's not, like, a lot of happy movies about Irish people. You know?
I mean, they had a potato famine.
Yeah. Discomfort is the name of the game. Speaking of, Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Yes. I watched this at, like, 1:30 in the morning last night, so even though I wrote down notes, it's all gonna be sort of like a fever dream for me.
I think this show is a fever dream to anyone who watches it. It's very traumatic. This show,
it's just a fever. Just, you feel sickly, you feel, when you walk your legs feel heavy.
Yeah, like a lot of deep stuff happens. It hurts sometimes at the end. I mean, usually I'm laughing the whole time, but then after, when I'm kind of going over notes and thinking what was really happening, I'm like, why was I laughing so hard? It's like all those queens who watch Mommy Dearest and they laugh. Have you ever done that, like, with a group of gays? I mean, I know you didn't go to gay college, but still.
Right. I mean, I have not watched Mommy Dearest with gays, but I've been in bars where a clip will come on and the gays will start to howl and do all those things when it comes on. But I haven't actually seen a full viewing with the gays.
Yeah, my first time I was like 15 and I was watching with all these theater gays, and you know, the kids getting beat and they're like laughing their asses off, and it just felt so weird and gross, even though I do it now because I'm programmed.
Yeah,
but that's how Real Housewives of Atlanta feels sometimes. I'm like,
Mommy Dearest.
Yeah, I'm like, why am I laughing at this? They're just beating the shit out of each other. I mean, emotionally, well, sometimes physically.
Yeah. I have to say, through my fever haze, that where I didn't have an actual fever, I do remember thinking at one point, this is a really great season of Atlanta. It's been really good.
Oh yeah.
You know, cause you know, and I know, broken record, I'm always saying it's that sometimes this show is not about real shit, but this season is about real shit. Sex Dungeons, you know, perhaps maybe the exception, but that's at least super funny shit.
And they shot their reunion last week, and Andy put out a Snapchat that someone posted for us, and he's like, whoa, guys, oh, some stuff came out, whoa.
Well, wasn't it, it's a whole thing, someone slept with someone, right? Portia slept with someone, I forget who.
Oh, God, I don't even know. I don't want to know, okay? I don't want to be spoiled.
Yeah. It was something. Some people sent us links. We were also sent links. Someone tagged me in like Cairo, Sheree's son, he has sex videos now. Because he was basically Snapchatting, stroking his dick. And someone, of course, saved that and put it on the internet, which, of course, we all enjoy and appreciate because Cairo is, you know, very foine. But it was kind of funny because someone tagged me and it was like on my Facebook page, look, Ben, look, here's a sex tape with Cairo. I'm like, great. Thanks for putting that on my Facebook page.
What if my dad comes on my Facebook page looking for scotch tape?
Yeah.
He's going to be mortified. Yeah, I wasn't too impressed with the Cairo sex vid. I think that that wasn't very impressive. I feel like he should keep his clothes on. He's hotter with his clothes on. I'll just say that. I don't want to penis shame somebody, but I don't know. Keep your clothes on. You're not a Kardashian, okay? That's not the road to fame. Sex tapes don't work the same for guys, you know?
Yeah, or don't show your face. Don't show your face, Cairo. You just have to be smarter about it.
Well, I think he was doing it on purpose, wasn't he? I mean, it seemed to me like a total Kardashian move.
Yeah, it probably was. I think actually the kids these days are a little desensitized to the idea. If it doesn't bother him, then fine. But, you know, that stuff can be career limiting. But these days, I mean, everyone has a sex tape. It's like, I think it's not as crazy to have nudes of yourself get leaked out into the world.
Yeah, other things that can be career limiting, modeling for cargo.
Both Cynthia Bailey's brand and just going onto a cargo ship and just trying to do it to sachet.
Yeah, at least in this one, we got a penis to judge.
Yeah.
What are you doing for us, Cynthia? All right, so let's jump into the show here, okay? So we're still in Hawaii, and everybody's pretending, you know, they're busy still. I mean, Candy and Todd have a baby, so that, you know, that's real. But then Sheree on her phone call with her publisher was hilarious. She's like, well, I hope Miami is conducive to writing because your book's due in 2 days. She's like, yeah, my book's going to be finished in 2 days. She probably hadn't even started that book.
I know. I mean, and let's be honest, it's probably just an ebook. Let's be honest.
You got baseboards?
You got baseboards? You got a cover model?
It's going to be a home remodeling book. Sheree's life told through on the dime home remodels. You got a doorknob? I got a doorknob. Chapter 2.
It's just basically blinds? She just consolidated a whole bunch of IKEA manuals and just it's just essentially like a strange picture book.
The cover is just Sheree holding on to an L wrench, like a giant L wrench.
Putting to get building her chateau with nothing but an L wrench.
Her publisher is like, I love the chapter about being blind. She's like, no, I was just saying, you got blinds? Like, oh, damn it. I thought you were gonna get an Oscar out of this, Sheree. Dig deeper, Sheree. Cairo got cock? Yes. We've seen Cairo's cock. No, to put in the cracks. You got cock?
I loved Oh, wait, I tried to make a pun, but I realized it was totally wrong. I'd be like, I love the part when you went to Paris. She's like, no, that's plaster Paris. But then I realized plaster Paris is not a construction tool. That's just plaster. Plaster's construction. Plaster Paris is what I made my 7th grade project, the Bateau Mouche, out of plaster of Paris.
I wouldn't be surprised if Chateau Sheree was built with plaster of Paris. It's just like a bunch of different like balloons that were blown up and covered in plaster of Paris. And then painted.
Just a lot of old newspapers. Don't light a match.
You got a little dad in your living room.
You got smoke sisters. You.
Oh, Monday. So then
it has that weird smell.
So then in Todd and Portia's room, Portia is letting Todd see her without her eyelashes again, which means they're really in love and possibly going to have a baby soon.
Yeah. And Candy's on the phone with Riley.
So basically, the first scene is Portia and Kenya playing tennis. Pedro. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. What'd I say? I always do that. Well, it's like people can't have two P's. They can't have a P in their name.
Well, I know we have Phaedra and Portia, Kenya and Candy. It's really annoying.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's too much.
Phaedra Cynthia, and Kenya.
Phaedra and Kenya. Phaedra and Kenya, the new friends. Are playing tennis, nothing but love. But Phaedra says she warns us that as much as she's enjoying her budding friendship with Kenya, she's still wary. She's been listening to Frick and will not be sharing any personal details with Kenya, which is probably a smart move.
Well, she doesn't really share personal details with anybody, you know. And then you find out about it later, and then she lies about it, and then some blog writes about it, and she kind of admits it.
Yeah, I mean, she did tell her mom that she gave birth at 6 months, so you know, well, you know, it's a six months, so she's a little closed off and has trouble with the truth.
But you know what? No matter how much Phaedra lies, she always says things like, girl, I like my sushi on a plate that don't walk away.
I didn't really understand that, but I appreciate it because I do too.
Oh, that was just like, yeah. I really actually like vaginal sushi. That's what I came here for.
That's what I came here for. I like the imitation crab.
Yeah, they're still just making lesbian jokes because I don't even know how it's – who knows how it ever starts here. But they just started making lesbian jokes because two of the girls are, you know, supposedly not scared of sushi. And she's like, I want my sushi on a plate that don't walk away. And then Kenya's like, yeah, well, you know, friend – oh, yeah. Kenya tried to hit the ball and fell down, and Phaedra's like, this ain't the French Open, girl. And she's like, yeah, well, we don't need the French Open because we got two Frenchies who like to French kiss below. I'm like, you two, really?
It's a stretch. I'm not saying that just because her legs were outstretched on the turf. It was a stretch. It was strange. It was strange. I kind of was like, scratching my head through this whole scene. I'm not gonna lie, I didn't understand really any of it. I'm like, why are you guys even playing tennis? You can't do it.
Yeah, it's can't like one of you just get a vag waxing? Like, what happened to that storyline? Could one of you just have like a little
did
fake
Stassi
baby
ruin
sent
that?
Over in a box? How about
yeah.
that?
Yeah, why don't we go back to some of our old favorites? I think we're realizing tennis just does not listen. Real Housewives, there was a time when tennis was the shit, and it was on Real Housewives of New York when it was the Jill Zarin and her pro, was it Ramona? There was a whole thing. There was like an ongoing thing where Luann versus Jill, Luann and Jill versus Ramona and Mario. Something like that. Remember, it was a big thing. That's where I like the tennis to stay, right there.
Or when Camille was fucking her tennis pro on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. That was so fun.
Beverly Hills and so
yeah, when she was on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And she was like obviously boning that guy.
Boning the guy. The tennis guy. Tennis guy and
hi,
it's like, Camille, why are you kissing the tennis ball so much?
I thought it was Kelsey.
This tennis ball still won't talk to me.
Yeah, it's Wilson.
Meanwhile, it's Peter's birthday.
Peter's birthday.
So Cynthia decides to bring him room service to celebrate his birthday. And she's like, not to be confused with sex on a platter. I'm like, yeah, that's right. Because when you bring food to Peter, it's more like sex on a dirty napkin.
I like that.
Don't even elevate it to platter, Cynthia.
I like that she didn't even order it to his room. She ordered it to her own room and then wheeled it down the hall. And brought it to his room. That was the weirdest thing. I mean, what the hell, Cynthia?
It was like a hand job on a rickshaw.
Never forget that hand job, and Cynthia will never be okay with me. By the way, there was rumors this week in that blog, which I forgot the name of. B Allen. What's that blog?
Yeah. Yeah, love. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And they say that Scott. Cynthia B. already Scott. Got fired. Oh, yeah. Love B. Scott. And they say that Cynthia already got fired. And I don't believe that because they don't announce that shit this early. And they even said that in the article. They're like, well, they don't announce it this early, but they're going to need the money for Nene and Kim.
So interesting.
That'll be interesting. You know what's not interesting? Cynthia and Peter, okay?
Yeah.
So they're sitting there having this breakfast that was just rolled Lord knows how long to Peter's room. And she's like, well, Peter, this is our last day. As husband and wife, or our last birthday celebration as husband and wife. It's also our last vacation as husband and wife. And he's like, I was going to call you in the middle of the night last night because it feels so weird, like being in the same hotel with you and not the same bed.
Like, it's weird because you have to pay for things. That's why.
Yeah, exactly.
Pay your own way now.
I was going to
call
you. Hotel
one.
But then I fell asleep because I wasn't worried like normal that people were going to be knocking on my door saying my credit card was declined.
So weird being in this hotel alone, but there wasn't like a highway over it. It was weird.
And Cynthia says, with all our problems, sex wasn't one of them. Like, you never fucked your husband. Didn't we already talk? Wasn't this like a whole season of storyline about how Cynthia was refusing to bone Peter? And then she tried to prove to people that she did by giving him that hand job during massage time when her daughter came in. She's like, see, Peter, this is why I never have sex with you.
I feel like there's like as much sex appeal there as like, you know, going down on a some soft serve. I don't know.
Yeah, just basically, like... it's like the sex appeal of walking sushi, Carvel. Basically.
Like, yeah. It's like Cookie Puss. I don't know. It's just, I shouldn't say that because I actually do find Carvel to be very sexy. But it's just, the last thing I want to think about is them having sex. I've been watching a lot of Planet Earth 2, and that stuff has more eroticism than these two.
The birds fucking up against the tree had more believability and more sexuality than these two. So she gives him a Bible, and it's like a bedazzled Bible, which is really weird. Yeah. She's like, well, like I was just going through the house and found this Bible that I let I let my kid bedazzle things to.
And Peter's like, it felt like I failed marriage. I'm like, yeah, well, you did. So
yeah, you kind of did.
You got that right.
Yeah, you basically you failed.
Yeah, you married a supermodel, you bamboozled her into marrying you under a dinosaur and moved down to Atlanta, and then you cheated on her with a girl in the club.
Yeah, Charlotte. So where did he move to?
Charlotte. Charlotte, of all places, Charlotte.
Of all places to leave someone for.
With their bathroom laws.
And she's like, I was a good friend, but not a good wife. He's like, that makes me feel better. You really never want a marriage. Like, she didn't want to pay for all your failing businesses, fool. She never said she didn't want marriage, you jerk. But then you can't be on Cynthia's side either, because her interview dress is like this weird, like, thrift store ball gown with a fur glued to one shoulder. It's like, I can't root for you. Why do you hurt yourself like this, Cynthia? Why? And she's like, I ask myself every day, could I have bought him more businesses? Could I have made this work? Could I have gotten a line of credit maybe at a Bank of America instead of just Wells Fargo?
It's like that scene at the end of Schindler's List when he's like, I could have done more. I could have done more. She's like, I could have rented out more warehouses. I could have, there are so many warehouses to take on. I could have done so much for his businesses.
She's like, I could have gotten him so much more credit. I could have saved so many Jewish people. Like, whoa, Cynthia, whoa.
And then the girl in a red dress.
Your sight's too high there, okay?
The girl in a red dress comes by and then just blows Peter.
She's like, how could he? While she's wearing cargo. If you're listening to this, you probably love podcasts just like us. Let us tell you about a new podcast we love called Serial Killers.
Yeah, guys. Serial Killers takes a psychological and entertaining approach to provide a rare glimpse into the mind, methods, and madness of most notorious serial killers.
Each episode aims to answer how someone could commit such depraved and unjustifiable acts by taking an investigative approach into the psyche of serial killers.
So it's basically like our Vanderpump Rules recaps. Got it. The hosts analyze evidence, share real confessions, and for more recent cases, you'll hear real audio from the serial killers themselves.
Yeah, their team of skilled true crime detective researchers brings to light little-known facts about each killer as well as analyze their story.
Serial Killers is different, with a production team of screenwriters, voice actors, and sound designers that keep the show entertaining.
Yeah, check out episodes covering H.H. Holmes, one of the first ever serial killers, or Aileen Wuornos now. Plus, with a new episode coming out every Monday, you can expect episodes on Ted Bundy, the Zodiac Killer, and more in the near future.
I can't believe Shay would turn into a serial killer 2 years after our wedding. So you guys, we know you love murder and serial killing. So visit iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast directory and search for Serial Killers. They're all doing podcasts. Just kidding. The podcast is called Serial Killers.
Charles Manson's new podcast. again, that's Serial Killers. Or visit Parcast.com. That's Parcast.com/serial to start listening now.
That's Parcast, PARCAST.com/serial, as in serial killer, not cereal that you eat, to listen now. Unless you're a special kind of serial killer who eats humans for cereal.
So Peter is Todd's boy.
Peter is Todd's boy. We're going to do a T. Tucker production to roast Peter for his birthday. I'm like, oh God, what's a T. Tucker production? Please don't call it T. Tucker Productions anymore.
Yeah, it's going to be canceled like halfway through the party.
It's just going to be like the car, the Tucker, a man in his dream. Yeah, that's a little reference for everyone. A little reference to like a 1987 movie with Jeff Bridges about a car.
How did a Jeff Bridges movie even come into your mind when talking about Peter?
I was talking about T. Tucker, a T. Tucker production.
T. Tucker.
Well, no, because the Tucker, I believe the Tucker vehicle was just never really made it to market. So it's totally apt.
They had really high hopes for it, but it just kind of puttered out in the middle of the cul-de-sac. That's actually better than the roast, I have to say.
Yeah, I think this roast, I mean, I have never pined for the good old days of a Kristen Doughty roast in West Hollywood.
I know.
And when I saw this T. Tucker production.
Yeah, this made Doughty look like on it.
This made Katie's zingers towards Jax look like Def Comedy Jam.
So they've decided to throw a roast for Peter, and Candy's in a better mood today. She's not raging. She's like, I don't want to send my back to them because they stab you in it all the time.
Yeah. But I liked when Cynthia goes, tells the woman, she's like, well, instead of roasting a pig, it'll be Peter who's roasted. And they cut to Portia. It's like, what? Like, you could see she just had a vision of Peter rotating on a spit very slowly.
I can't believe they killed Peter.
Peter, I'll help you dig a hole. You could get on the Underground Railroad.
Peter, I got some good barbecue sauce for you just in case.
So Bob comes in and he's all cross-eyed as usual. He's like, yeah. I don't know if Sheree want to sit by me. And she's like, what? Why are you saying that? And he goes, there was a flashback of hatred.
Yeah, what? And he's like,
poor her. What? Who said that?
They did have a callback
to that. Candy was like, why are you saying that?
See? Now, why say that, Riley? Why talk to Bob? Talk about why he said that, Riley. No, Candy, what are you saying?
I don't even know right now. There's a spit.
So
T-Tucker production.
Sheree is missing still, and everybody's asking where she is. And Peter's like, where's Sheree? And Bob's like, she went to a volcano somewhere. What does that mean?
Well, it's funny because Bob was like, I'm just trying to be a better Bob, you know? And then he's like, so where is she? She went to a volcano, you know, stupid bitch.
What does that mean? I don't get the reference.
It wasn't a reference. It's just like, you know, there are volcanoes in Hawaii, and I don't know. She just maybe.
Oh, I thought it meant something like.
No, there was no reference.
Like a subtle slam there that I wasn't getting. Oh, Bob, maybe stop tricking me, erupt. Bob, with your handle on English.
Bob wrote like an apology on social media. It wasn't good, but he wrote one. If anyone's interested, you can find it by searching it.
I'm sorry for not remembering. Things you're accusing me of. But I
was like, you went to Stanford and this is what you wrote. So then the Todd Tucker production begins, the T. Tucker production, T. Tucks. And it's, because Sheree does show up eventually. Sheree puts on like a brave smiling face. She doesn't want to be there, but she's like, I had a baby, the baby has a baby. Like, I did my Sheree thing too fast for me to actually get my words out, but still kind of accurate to what she said.
What'd she say, dude, again?
I had to be baseball here. Baseball? You got baseball? Baseball?
You got baseball? It's like they're in the middle of a grass. A big grass park. You got baseball? It's like, stop competing with everybody, Sheree.
This stage got baseball?
Peter's like, we thought you fell in the volcano. And she's like, well, I was talking to my publisher about the book. And then she does this thing where she starts rubbing her neck. And I was like, oh, no. Please let's not talk about this again. Let's all just try and have a nice episode, okay? And she's like, I don't want to have this conversation around the men.
Oh, yeah.
Awkward. So Todd's like, oh, well, these dancers, like, we got them, and they're going to, like, dance. And so the dancers dance, and Peter's like, yep, it's my beat.
It's my beat. Peter's hula. So, yeah, so Todd's like, all right, we're going to start. We're going to start the roast now. So, Candy, why don't you come up here? And Candy's like, see? Nah, Peter.
He's like, whoa, I have a club one. It's like, see? Nah, Peter, you're not divorced.
I'm like, oh, great one, Candy.
I like that she said, if we do this at nighttime, I don't know if I'll see Peter. Wow.
Candy and Todd were like a very strange lounge act. They were kind of like, up there together, playing off each other, cracking jokes, but like nothing was very funny. Nothing was really landing. I just kind of felt like I was at some strange Hilton near an airport.
You actually were. That's like literally where you were in this scene.
But you know who loved it though was Hot Todd, because he was cracking up at everything. Candy was like, "See now, Peter loves yogurt," and he's like, "Ah!"
Yeah, Hot Todd's a little too into it, which means he'll fit in just great, you know. And Todd, another joke was, when I saw him with the supermodel, I said, wow, how did he get her? He must have money. Then it turned out he gets money from her. I'm like, that's not a joke. That's just a really sad fact. What are you doing to him on his birthday? God.
Yeah.
It's like roasting me and being like, well, the first time I saw Ronnie, I said, wow, he's overweight. And now I'm seeing him today and thinking, he's even more overweight. It's like, wait a second.
I feel like the women should have just gone in on him. Like, oh, you get divorced and yet you're still here on our vacation. Look at you, like, still hanging around. You can't, like, get enough of it. You're, like, the seventh housewife or whatever. But everyone was just, they were just, I don't even remember what they were saying. It was just stupid stuff. And Cynthia, I mean, when it was time for Cynthia to give her roast, she gets up there. This is her roast. I think Peter and I represent determination. What the fuck was that?
And also, how are you saying you represent determination? You're getting divorced after like 2 years.
Yeah. And then she starts going, well, you definitely brush your teeth like no other. That's for sure. You get all over in the back of the tongue.
Yeah, she started complimenting how he brushes his teeth. And then Candy's
that dental
like,
material always kills.
Yeah, Candy's like, talk about the gray hair on his balls or something.
See? Now, Papa Balls. So, yeah, it was just awkward. And I liked when Sheree in the interview was like, it was time for Sheree to roast him. And she goes, Sheree goes, well, they want me to roast Peter, which is funny because he looks well done to me. And then the camera just stayed on her for like 10 seconds while she waited for someone to laugh.
You heard one PA in the back like laughing through a donut chew. He's like, ah, ha, ha.
You got donut? You got donut? You got a roast?
So the next day, Kenya has found a man to shoot with. Unfortunately, he works at the hotel.
Yes.
She's like, hello, hotel person. I want to throw a party. A divorce party. One is my BFF and one is my NBF. And he's like, what's that? And she's like, new best friend. He's like, look, lady, I'm the bellboy. Okay. Do you want me to drop off your luggage or what? I'm not planning a fucking party for you. She's like, here's what I need. She starts giving him a list. I'm like, that is not a party planner. Okay.
Yeah. He had no idea what was going on. She was like, I think the theme will be aloha because, you know, aloha means hello and it means goodbye. He's like, yeah, bitch, I live in Hawaii. You think I'm an idiot?
She's like, hello. And she flips her hair and she's like, goodbye. And then she starts naming all the stuff she wants for the party. She's like, I want a banner that says, like, I do, I did, I'm done. Because aloha means hello. Hair flip and goodbye. It's like, okay.
And she's like revving up to do some twirls. And even she realizes, you know what? I'm just not going to do it this time. It's just going to be lost in him. I'm just going to wrap this one up now and walk out the room.
That poor busboy. I mean, that busboy looks so awkward. It's like he'd actually been dating her for 6 months.
Is that why his fists were so bloody? I was wondering, just, you know, glass windows.
He's all in her hotel room breaking her windows, yeah. Like, wait a second.
He's leaving rambling Instagram videos everywhere now. They're like, well, you know, Charles was so kind and sweet when he was on the concierge desk, but now all he does is ramble about how he's been manipulated by the woman in room 237.
So don't go in that room. Next is a sunset ride on a catamaran. Ooh. And the boat bartender is like, aloha. And Kenya's like, bye. And like flips her hair and does a twirl.
Yeah.
So this is weird. So
you know that Portia, by the way, is expecting some weird thing where you throw cats and they like come back to you like a cat boomerang.
Oh, it's a catamaran.
So this is a weird scene because it's half party where everyone's like, woohoo, it's our last day. Yes. And then Bob and Sheree at some awkward table downstairs on the boat, like kind of hint talking about their abuse. I was like, this does not feel like a hug scene. Okay. Can we maybe do this on land?
Yeah, it was very intense. So they're talking, and Bob, of course, you know, he's trying to make amends, and he basically starts by saying, why'd you leave me sitting there? Referring to the jewelry shop when Sheree walked out. Like, why'd you leave me sitting there? Like, he's the victim here. Like, poor Bob, left alone at Zales.
Yeah. It was supposed to be fun. I mean, why were you mad? Because I don't take anything serious? Is that how you feel? She's like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then she basically said, we haven't even talked about stuff we talked, you know, that happened in the marriage, Bob. It's all surface. You don't see anything wrong with leaving and not even calling for 6 months. And then joking about taking off my seatbelt and pressing on the brakes and trying to make me go on the straight. That is abuse, Bob. That is mental abuse. And to make a joke about it, he's like, I'm taking responsibility for things I don't remember that you're saying now. Whatever. I did the Holocaust. I did World War II. I did Vietnam. I'm like, no, Bob. You like did real tangible things.
Yeah.
That you could literally say, I'm sorry for choking you. Not, I don't remember. What are you, a Real Housewife of Beverly Hills?
Yeah, I mean, hearing Sheree share it was actually really, that was a really emotional moment on the show. Because I got the sense that this is stuff she does not let out often, maybe not even to herself. And she just starts talking about how, he just up and left her and the family for 6 months. And that was, apparently was like really traumatizing for her, which I would understand because, you know, you have a husband, a partner in crime, a lover, and then all of a sudden just disappears and abandons you and you don't know what you're going to do with yourself. And then he cut off the credit cards. He wasn't paying mortgage. So that's scary. And that's what she had to live through. And then Bob's like, well, what am I supposed to do? Like, in order to like, how am I supposed to make it better? And she's like, well, you're a grown ass man. Like, figure it out. And he goes, what the fuck? Like, no, Bob, you don't get to say what the fuck.
Yeah, he gives the flash of Bob anger, and everyone up top on the boat is looking back like, what?
Yeah. And Sheree, and I was so proud of Sheree because she was like, I want you to have some remorse about what the fuck you did. That's what I want you to have. I was like, yes, Sheree, yes.
And he's like, I am remorseful. I regret it every day. And then up top on the boat, Todd, Hot Todd, is laughing. And he's like, oh, that Bob. That Bob is hilarious, isn't he? And Cynthia's like, you know, I think they're still in love. And they're like laughing and having fun. And meanwhile, we cut back and Bob's like holding Sheree's wrist really tightly. I'm like, this is kind of scary. I don't really like this scene. And he's like, there's no woman who affects me like you. And then she really started crying. And she's like, it was the kids too. These kids. And then, and she's just sobbing. And it was really.
It was intense. It was sad. It was like a very strong emotional moment. You know, she was really letting us into something that I think that she had tried to keep off the show. I mean, she's obviously talked about all the bad things that Bob has done. But this was a moment of like real vulnerability for Sheree, and we actually don't see that as much as we think, because as evidenced by the fact that this was such a shocking moment, you know, compared to like all the times that we see Kenya have a cry moment where she talks about her mom or this or that, which I don't take that away because I do think that Kenya went through a trauma with her mom for sure. But this was crazy. And then Sheree was talking about how you know, what she was, and through her sob, she's saying one of the reasons why she wanted to build her chateau, which, by the way, it sort of made me laugh that she still referred to it as the chateau during this very intense scene. Mm-hmm. And she was building the chateau because she basically wants to prove to her kids that they don't have to depend on a man for this sort of stuff, which is very Ramona Singer, okay? And then, but eventually, ultimately,
but you know, Sheree, what you do just have to do? You do have to pay the man that you're depending on to build it, Sheree.
But ultimately, though, at the height of all this crying, she just keeps saying, you left, which was really like this kind of heart-wrenching vulnerability. That was to me like the climax of this moment. And it was really, really sad to see that hurt just laid out bare, just in its simplest form. You left me. You abandoned me. You broke my heart. You did everything. You just left me. And her to say that over and over and over again was really like a refreshing change for a show that normally, you know, traffics in sex dungeons and lesbian rumors.
Yeah, he's like, I'm hungry. Okay, glad you paid attention. So yeah. At dinner.
Sheree says she finally has gotten closure, so we'll see about that.
Well, actually, Sheree finally got closure. Closure. Which I don't know if it's the same thing or not.
Meant that she did get a text that her door had been installed on the chateau, so.
So they go have dinner, and Kenya's basically, nothing really happened. Kenya's like, you're in a good mood now, great. So ladies, later, I have a surprise. And then they all make Cynthia kiss Peter, blah, blah, blah.
And then Cynthia's hair gets caught in her iPhone fan, which is kind of funny. Typical Cynthia.
So now divorce party. And, yes. You know, people weren't really into this, and I don't really blame them because,
yeah,
of course Kenya is going to celebrate the most miserable time of your life. Like, that's so Kenya. Yeah. I'm going to have a party to rub their face in their divorce.
Yeah, it was a misguided celebration. I think it's one thing to throw yourself a divorce party like Sheree did, where she wanted to have a helicopter and a poet, but to throw it for someone else as a surprise, that's, you're playing with fire with that. You just don't know how someone's going to react. You don't know what emotional state they're going to be in. And I loved it.
Flashback of Sheree's. That was so good. I love that Sheree had her own red carpet where she paid people to interview her. She's yeah. like, I feel great. This is the most amazing time in my life. I feel wonderful. I'm like, well, great.
That was when Sheree was the villain of the show and she was just the most miserable person. But I love when, so Candy shows up first. I love when the door opens. She just goes like this. She goes, she just looks at
her. She's like, oh, God.
So, now, divorce party. Riley. Boss.
Did you guys know aloha is hello and goodbye, twirl? It's like, shut up, Kenya. Jesus. And it was also awkward because the space was like a rented out party room at the Marriott. It's like this humongous space used for like conferences
or like a pizza party for at a family reunion.
Yes. And there's just like this little tiny cake in the middle. It's all fluorescent light lit.
Yeah, it was just a set. I think people were probably more offended by the fact that if there was gonna be a divorce party, that it was so poorly put together.
Yeah. She's like, it was all free. Aloha. So Kenya is all excited about this cake she had made that has a chain that you get to cut. And she's trying to get everyone on board. And then Cynthia arrives and she's like, I don't want a divorce party. And then she starts like, tearing up and crying.
Well, it just reminds her that, you know, she was just boning Peter probably 10 minutes ago. And now she feels like a slut. Like, oh, damn, that's right. I am getting divorced from him.
Yeah.
Not that she is one.
No, yeah. And then it switches to the guys. And they're, you know, typical. They're like, so did you bone Cynthia, basically? And he's like, nope, I haven't done that with her in 9 months. And Bob's
and Todd's like, hot Todd, I should say.
And Bob's
regular
like,
Todd would be like,
now there's some adult restraint. It's like, ooh, Bob. Like, everything Bob says is so fucking creepy now.
Yeah. So then upstairs, Portia and Phaedra show up, and Phaedra is not happy. She is not about this. She's already feeling sick. And she sees this poster that says, I do, I did, I done, gone another direction. And she is just bitter, not bitter, but she's just very upset and cold and shut down. And she just does not want, you know, Kenya's got all these little games and Phaedra does not want to participate at all.
Yeah, it's like, but the kiss the dick. It's like pin the tail on the donkey, but you have to close your eyes and find where the dick is.
Yeah, and it was all like very bachelorette party-esque, etc.
Yeah, and they just like put the balls on the man, and Cynthia's like, what? Where did they go? Where did the balls go? Like, really? Really, Cynthia? You don't know where the balls go? She's like, in his butt? It's like, Peter's actually very lucky to be getting the hell out of here.
Phaedra, though, so while they're like doing the kiss the penis game, which is sort of like pin the tail on the donkey, but not quite, Phaedra's sitting there and she's like, I do not like that the women are mocking the sacrament of marriage. And now, normally, if someone said that, I can understand that, someone going through divorce saying that, but from Phaedra, I mean, you were talking to chocolate.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I get what she was pissed about, and I even get what she was saying with Kenya. And online, I was reading a lot of the comments today, and people are really pissed at Phaedra because they're like, well, Kenya was making an effort and she shit all over it. But it is pretty, well, I guess we'll get there in a couple of seconds, so I'll wait. So basically, blah, blah, blah.
Portia misses the penis, by the way. She's trying to kiss this penis and she totally misses because she's blindfolded. And Trey's like, stop playing.
You know how to find that penis girl.
You know how to find that penis girl? That penis got a baseboard?
You make money from African billionaires finding that penis girl.
Yeah.
So they're all talking. They're like, well, I don't know. Is Phaedra upset? She went out for ginger ale and never came back. Do you think she's mad? And Portia's like, you guys were right. Blink, blink. She's upset. Let me read her text. I'm good, but appalled that they would think a breakup of a family would be cause for party and the trifling woman who texted my husband. It's disgusting and shameful. And didn't that happen in Hawaii? Where were they?
The texting thing, you mean that the whole saga?
That first season where Kenya came on and was flirting with Apollo.
They may have been in Hawaii, or maybe they were in like...
somewhere tropical.
Antigua, or like, I don't know, it wasn't Antigua. It was a place that they went to also in Real Housewives of Miami.
Yeah, so they go to this place. Anyway, it's like a tropical thing. It's kind of the same thing as Hawaii, basically, the vacation aspect of it. And that was pretty harsh what Kenya was doing because she hated Phaedra. And she was going at her hard, flirting with Apollo on purpose and trying to get her mad. And I don't necessarily know how to feel about Phaedra because I don't know how much of what she says is true and what's a lie. I mean, I really like her on the show, but I can see why that would be awkward. It's like last time we were in this thing, I was married and you were flirting with my husband, and then it turned into this text thing with my husband and this weird lie thing, and that was part of the downfall of her marriage, you know? So I get why she would be annoyed.
I get that, but I also felt like they're carrying on like they've got a new budding friendship, and you know, I think that Kenya did something that was stupid. I don't think it was malicious. I think it was just maybe thoughtless. It was insensitive. And I think Phaedra, she could have just been like, you know what, this is offending me, I'm not into it, whatever. And then that would have been it. But, you know, she said she's a trifling and she brings back the stuff that we thought was like long dead and gone and done. I mean, Paul is in prison for crying out loud. He has a new fiance for double crying out loud. And he's shady as fuck. And so this whole, and he's confessed to the texting thing or whatever. And that whole saga is done. And Phaedra brought it back, and she didn't bring it back as like a reference to, well, she brought it back in a grudge way, not as a reference to the past way. And I think that Phaedra's reaction, admittedly, she is probably very sensitive about everything right now, and she is gassy. But that being said, I think that she went low real quick. And I think this one's a little bit on her.
Yeah, I guess I could see that. I just think she probably felt like Kenya was doing that to be a bitch to her. I think she was probably thinking, like, here I am, we just made up and became friends, and now she's having a divorce party when she was doing all that shit with my husband. And then we have a flashback of when Kenya confronted him and said, all those things you said about me, that was a lie, and you need to admit it. And he's like, okay, I'm sorry. I said I was sorry. Everything was a lie. Everything was a lie. And just kind of repeated what she was telling him to say. And then another flashback of Phaedra saying, your slate is clean with me, Kenya. And from here on out, I won't call you a whore. Which, in her defense, she didn't. She just called her trifling.
Right. Yeah. But still, it was that she started basically name calling, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I can see why maybe she would think that Kenya would be doing that. However, that seems like more of a reasonable response from if it were last year or 2 years ago. But if you have a new friendship with someone, you know, you have to give them a benefit of the doubt. And if you can't give them the benefit of the doubt, then you can't be parading on like they're your best friend. They're new best friend. Yeah. So
it was just sorry, confusing Phaedra. How it happened because they were just playing tennis and having fun. But then again, it is talking Kenya. About sushi. Like, let's not forget, you know, Kenya acts like she's so nice and she's this changed woman.
But
and
it's also going Phaedra. Around
being positive. But it's Kenya still.
But it's also still Phaedra acting like she's over something, acting like she's fine. So I mean, it's like, you know, it's a bad mix. Which is, by the way, this is just when Tamara and Gretchen becoming friends for a season. You know, it wasn't going to last. So it's fine. Yeah. It's fine.
They're not meant to mix.
Yeah. So, it's like ammonia and bleach. Don't do it.
Oh, God. Well, that'll kill a person just smelling that.
So will this. I mean, if Phaedra and Kenya got together much longer, I mean, we'd all be dead.
The world would explode. So Portia and Phaedra. Now, one thing I just love about Phaedra and is she's so consistent. You know, she's like, I said I was sick, so I shall burp for the camera. And also when she's mad at people, she sips things out of a straw really slowly. So she's like sipping and burping slowly in full makeup, of course, you know. Mm-hmm. Portia comes by and she's like, girl, if you were going to leave, you could have given me a wink or something. He's like, what the hell? You left me in that room kissing dicks on a wall. And she's like, do they understand the institution of marriage? Like, mm-hmm. Phaedra. I think why Phaedra is really mad, my theory is that she hasn't told anybody that she's officially divorced yet because she hasn't told Apollo yet. And she knows now that they're going to be telling Apollo because those are Apollo's friends she's hanging out with, not her friends.
True.
You know?
Which is ridiculous in and of itself.
Yeah. So anyway.
So they're just sitting on the bed and they're just laughing and being shady, which is always hilarious. Talking about how Kenya can get with Apollo now. And then so Portia now has a plan to she's called room service to order some pineapple juice so that way she can mix it with her. With her booze. And what I love is the doorbell rings because Kenya's come over and Portia goes, ooh, that's the pineapple juice. Turn up.
She also said, did you didn't tell anybody else you finalized it? And she's like, no, and I don't plan to. And then Portia goes right to the girls. She's like, guess what? It was hard for her because she just got divorced last week. Like, oh geez,
yeah. that's an important part. Yeah, that was because the entire episode was Phaedra saying she can only tell things to Portia because she doesn't trust anyone else. And what does Portia do? She speaks out loud the text message and she also basically spills out all the beans about the divorce.
Fucking Portia. So then Kenya shows up. Yeah,
and Portia's like,
I'm mature now mode.
And Kenya's wearing a yellow dress, so Portia goes, ooh, I thought it was going to be pineapple juice, but just a pineapple. And Phaedra's like, ooh, they brought a pineapple? She's like, no, it's Kenya. I love all the intrigue around this pineapple situation.
It's just Kenya, but she is real prickly. You might get a loofah, girl.
Some people have allergies, so be careful. Don't make jello with Kenya.
Bye now.
So she leaves, because Kenya's like, may I please speak with Phaedra alone, Portia? I love this. I love Kenya's act. I'm really loving it. Because I always buy it when a housewife is like, oh, I've really changed. I'm a totally different person now. Remember that time I tried to ruin your marriage? That was totally different.
Totally different me. Mm-hmm. So they start talking and, you know, Phaedra is annoyed at Kenya, et cetera. And the first thing that I wrote down was Kenya, with her classic compassionate way, goes, well, just so you know, you both chose to be divorced. I was like, ooh, this is not going to go well.
Yeah, but she's saying it in that Kenya, like, I'm nice Kenya voice. She's like, you chose to divorce. Aloha. It's like, shut up, Kenya. So
I actually believe that when Kenya went over there, she was not going over there to pick a fight. I think actually Kenya understood. I know this is crazy, taking Kenya's side on this, but I think she actually understood that Phaedra was feeling some sort of way and was trying to I think she had all intentions of just to smooth things over. But with Kenya, you have like a small window, and once that window closes, then she starts popping off a little bit. And she says something like that, you chose to be divorced. And it's, you say something like that, it rubs people the wrong way, and then all bets are off.
Especially because it was an answer to, Phaedra said, I don't want to celebrate my children losing their father. She's like, well, you did both choose to be divorced. It's like, oh, geez. So,
that's right. Yeah.
God. So then Kenya's like, you know, you said you were in the best place ever. So I didn't think blah, blah, blah. And Phaedra's like, yes, but in my marriage, you had a contentious part of our breakup. She's like, that text was disgusting. You called me trifling. That was a name. And she's like, well, that was trifling what you did. She's like, do you blame me for your divorce? And she says no, and she's like, then why text me? And yeah. Phaedra tells us she continually flirted with my husband, and no wonder she's celebrating. It's a whole nother level of skanky for Kenya Moore. And yeah. Kenya's like, don't try and deify me.
Phaedra's like, deify.
Don't deify. Crucify me. Them. Don't crucified. Worship, regard, or treat me as a god.
But, you know, Kenya was right, too, when she was like, you know, you're the one, like, last night trying to do a restoration service and trying to be, you know, bring everyone together and kumbaya, and now you're turning on the one person who's trying to put something nice together. I mean, it was a shitty – I get it. It was a shitty room, and there's only five people there, and the cake looked shitty, and, you know, Chris from the bar is the guy arranging everything. I understand. It's a shitty party. But, however, great theme. Aloha. It works on two different levels. Hello and goodbye. So, I mean, what's the deal?
Yes, well, even God kicked out his children when they trifled with that snake. When Eve started texting back and forth with that snake, even God got mad.
Trifling ho. Maybe if she'd eaten a pineapple instead of an apple, things would be better.
So then Andy Cohen comes on screen. He's like, yeah, God, you're not going to believe this. Her name is Kenya and she likes a Pena coming on live at a cut. I was like, wow, it's still nice to know that Andy can't get those things in ever. He's after ever. All these years, he still can't do it in his like allotted 5 seconds.
Yeah. That's actually very true.
Okay, then two diet commercials came on. One was for this new diet pill, and it's like, did you know that two parts of your brain can make it hard to lose weight? The hunger center and the reward system. And it's like some fat lady turning down an hors d'oeuvre at a party. I'm like, oh, well, okay. So then the next, and of course it may increase suicide actions, whatever that means. And then next up is a Jenny Craig ad. And I was like, why do they all have to advertise on the show with the biggest butts? That's not fair. It's like it's not fair commercial planning.
Yeah. I feel you, Ronnie. I feel you.
And that's it. I stopped taking notes and left my house.
Me too. The only thing I wrote down was that the guys eventually showed up. I was like, great. And they're wasted. Todd came stumbling in like could barely even see what was going on. And I thought the only way to make this party even better. There actually is no other way to make it. It's just terrible.
Candy says, yeah, well, this is when Portia's like, well, you guys, Phaedra's just upset because it literally just happened a week ago when she divorced and signed the papers and this and that. And Candy's like, she didn't share that anyone else.
She did.
And Todd's like, well, she didn't say it was final. Bleep, 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 bleep. Can I please speak with Apollo? Like calling the jail.
I didn't see that part. Did that happen? No,
he didn't.
I was like, wait a second, because it was late at night. It was like, at that point, it was like 2:30 in the morning, and I was loopy. I was like, that happened?
No, but I feel like he wrote him like a handwritten letter and sent it to jail, like, she did it. The eagle has landed. So let's see.
Well, the eagle has landed.
Yeah, so that was the end, right? Yeah, and then everybody was like, oh, yay, this was such a fun trip. I'm like, this is the most depressing trip anybody's ever been on. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, exactly. And that was basically it. So, you know, next week we're back to the home base in Atlanta where more shenanigans will happen. Fun times.
That's it.
I'm happy.
All right, let's go cry. Yeah. I'm going to go cry.
Let's go cry.
That was a lot of abuse and friendships breaking up. I'm
and
sad
bad
now.
Cake. Yeah.
Yeah, and
everyone,
really,
thanks for listening.
And a really shitty cake.
Yeah, a really shitty cake and bad poster.
Yeah, you guys, and aloha. Okay.
Aloha. Oh, are we starting a new episode? Oh, we're ending an episode. Got it. Twirl.